The book of Matthew, chapter 6. Reading verses 32 to 34. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So yesterday we have seen that the Lord was encouraging his disciples not to be anxious about the things what we eat and drink or what we put on. So one, to feed our soulical life, and the second one is our physical, the body, outer case. But both the provisions what God has made and explained to his disciples is wonderful. And instead of seeking those things, God is asking us different things, and how the life can be really be transformed by allowing his work and exercising faith. And the beauty of what he intended for the man's creation would be derived. So in verse 32, what we see here is, for all these things, that means what we eat and what we drink and what we put on, is the main burden for the Gentiles. And those who have those things, but they seek after many worldly things, to amass wealth, to grow rich, and also then later on they wanted to have the power, authority, and so on. But even whatever they seek, they are all connected to the earth. But that has got nothing to do with God's kingdom. And the Lord is interested that his children should look unto the things which he intended to give to us and pursue those things. So in our prayers, many times when we are stressing so much about what is our earthly needs, and we know people that fight with the Lord to receive these things, and not literally by a food or drink or the clothing, but earthly related issues, and that is not good for us. And we don't see that kind of an emphasis that we need to pursue or strive or ask the Lord with a challenge, with a spirit of fighting in our prayers. But what we read in the beginning of this chapter, that in verse 11, give us this our daily bread. And that is one simple phrase what the Lord has taught his disciples. And there also, it is an expression of our confidence that the Lord is going to do that. And beyond that, then he did not say you don't ask for that, but you just express your need. And it is not something you are pursuing after only those earthly matters. So the children of Israelites, when they were brought out from the land of Egypt, the promise given to them is called Promised Land, Land of Canaan, a land inhabited by those seven tribes. The land was described as the rich land, and it takes the rain from the heaven, and it produces its fruit, and it brings a lot of joy and prosperity to the people. And it is also said it is the land flows with milk and honey. But that means it is all earthly rich blessings. But in the New Testament, that is not the order what God intended for all of us. He said you don't seek after those things. It is not for you. The Gentiles seek after those things. And whatever the needs we have, he said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So that is so much comforting to us, that as in this world of earth, so I, as an insignificant person, am not noticed, not known, and I don't have any kind of a validation in the things of the world, but my heavenly Father, who keeps his eye upon me and also knoweth what I need in my life is the most and great comforting thing to a heart of a true believer. Then they enjoy the real peace in every trouble and a difficult situation of their needs, not looking unto the help from the man, but only learning to look unto the help which cometh from above. And that is a great comforting promise which the Lord gives to us. Our Heavenly Father knoweth what we need. And verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So instead of looking unto those things and pursuing and striving for those things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So then here we see two divisions, a division in this verse. What a believer or the disciple of Christ need to seek, and what the Lord gives. And here we see that we seek the kingdom and its righteousness. And what the Lord is going to add is the necessities of this earthly life. So it is when we, a disciple or the believer, true believer, continues to pursue what the Lord is asking us to pursue and seeking after, then all these things will be given to us. It is said, it is added. Added means that is not really you have labored or strove or fight for those things, but he just gave it. It is like a bonus. You worked for righteousness and his kingdom. The Lord saw your heart and his need. Then accordingly, the Lord opened the doors and without even proper labor for towards that. And the Lord has added those things. And the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and he has not asked for thyself a long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall anyone arise like unto thee. Verse 13. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So he has asked for the wisdom and understanding to rule his great people. But when God pleased what he has asked, then he said, even if you did not ask the riches and the wealth, but I am giving you that also. And it is something similar promise here we see. Even if we don't ask all those things, what we eat, what we drink, and what we cover with, but he wanted to give all those things like additionals. And where we don't really even pay our labor to get that one. So it is not by adding sorrow to our life and pursuing all those things, but there is a great blessing when the Lord adds those things to our life. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he will not add sorrow to that. That means he will not have any troubles to get into that thing. And we see in the world, even the believers, then when they strive continually to be something, morning to evening, and working hard only for those things, and the things pertaining to the earth. And it is not that I am discouraging not to work, but in our heart we can sense that it is too much taking or giving so much weightage in our life onto those matters. And that is not that is not what the Lord is discouraging us to do so. And for everyone, the law, every believer, and all of us are loved by God. And he knows our needs. And in our life, what he wanted to give also, he is aware. And accordingly, he will continue to deal with our lives. And he blesses us. And sometimes we think that we should have more, but the Lord knows if we have more than this, then what would be the problems? And sometimes even if we don't ask those things, he will give, because Lord senses that person that he will be able to handle those riches or the other things, earthly blessings, to the glory of God. So then he may add, that is all up to his discretion. But when a person takes this Christian life and continues to pursue only after those things, then there is a lot to lose in that. And when we say that there is a, you strive and add something to your earthly life, and when we say this God has done it, so then there is also another issue that, so we should see that this, the world which the Lord has kept is, it is to pass away. And the God of this world is the Satan. And everything which he wants to please the people, so that the attention of those believers and unbelievers, everybody, may be diverted from the true God and issues which is really connected to him, and be diverted to the things of the world. So we need to be careful. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And those are the things which we need to seek. So we also hear the doctrine people call that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, you are entering into the kingdom of heaven. You will be there in ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is entirely contrary to what the Lord is teaching in this verse. He said, seek ye. There in other places, as many as have accepted him, and he gave them the right to call, a privilege to call them as children of God. And the sin, the wages of the sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. That is a gift. But as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned, then the Lord says, you need to seek after. Otherwise, you will lose it. So kingdom of heaven here, he meant the Lord is going to come. He is the master of the whole universe. And the part of the heavens is also defiled by the rebellious nature of the Satan and his angels who are fallen along with him from the original position. And that heavenly position is occupied by them, and they rule from there, from that portion of the heavens upon the earth. So the earth is also defiled because of that fallen nature in him. And it is brought into corruption, and he rules. And he also directs the minds of the people to make him worship, to worship him. And those are all totally contrary to God and his proprietary rights upon us and also upon the entire earth. But God's intention is that his son would come, make a propitiatory work completed, and redeems the people, those who believe on him. And after their belief, and he will also prepare them to be the joint heirs along with him when he comes in glory on the earth. But in the preparation, when he appears, as we read in book of Revelation 11, chapter 11, verse 15, lo, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord. So that is the declaration when the seventh trumpet, or the last trumpet, is blown. That means the Lord is going to come and he will take charge of the kingdom upon the earth. And that time, and those who seek now and get ready to enter along with him to be the joint heirs, and you need to seek after that. So that means, though the man was created only for the earthly life in the physical body, this body is only suited to live here. It cannot live on the other realms of the atmosphere. For example, the fish, it is meant to live in the waters. If you put it outside the water, it will die. And take the fowl of the air. Then if you put that fowl in the water, it will die. So everyone was created to their respective realms. There they will be able to live. Similarly, man is created to live upon the earth. But if the man is supposed to live in heavenly places, he needs a different body. And that body is only transformation of that body is only possible. One, the sanctified life of a believer, then God uses all the power to transform, to change this body, the mortal body, into glorious body. then the glorious bodies can live in heaven. So the glorious bodies which can live in heaven occupies the heavenly portion and also rules upon the earth. So both the divisions, one in the heavenly portion and the influence of that heavenly portion of the kingdom will be manifested upon the earth. And we have seen previously also many passages in relation to that. In simple terms, that is what, when the Lord comes, those who will participate in heavenly kingdom to rule upon the earth is the portion which the Lord is speaking here. And during his entire ministry, the Lord's burden was talking about the kingdom of heaven all the time. So he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the beginning of the message. So there in book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that there he meant was, so the king of the heaven and also the future king of the earth is here upon the earth. So the kingdom of heaven is now coming near or drawn near. So it is near to you now. So when the kingdom means there should be a king and also people who are called subjects, who are now showing subjection or showing obedience to the king, then we can say there is a kingdom. So if there is a king, it is not a kingdom. But if there are subjects but without a king, that is not a kingdom. But where there is a king and where there are people who will show subjection to that authority together, king and the subjects, where the king's authority prevails in the lives of the people of the subjects, then we can say it is the kingdom. So the Lord, when he started proclaiming, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means the heavenly authority, and which can be brought and experienced upon the earth, is now drawing near to you, is coming closer, is already come here. So the king is here, and all the angels along with him, who does the will of the Father, is also with him, and he can execute the heavenly government from here upon the earth. And that is what he meant. So it is bringing the unification, the heavenly order of the government, to manifest what it would be upon the earth, and he started preaching. That is the beginning of his ministry. So once again I am coming back. The king who has got an authority over everything, though that time his authority was not manifested upon the earth, he came down as a king who has the authority, along with his army of angels, to proclaim the authority of the king, the coming king, which can be which authority can be manifested during his lifetime upon the earth. So that is the beginning of the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we minimizing the message of our Lord Jesus Christ to only the forgiveness of sins, so we are losing so much of the power of his message. So we don't see that I have come to proclaim the forgiveness about the sins. So though he said, I have come to seek and save which was lost, but that is only a part of the total ministry. The main emphasis of his ministry was, he is a king and he has got authority in the heavens, and his authority will prevail in the coming days upon the earth also. For that one, I am coming, I have come to call all of you to be part with me, to be the partakers with me in that coming authority. And that is the declaration of his, the first message. So when we, over a period of time, the Christendom, in the beginning, this was the message proclaimed by the apostles. And that was the burden of their hearts also. See a few examples, the book of Acts, chapter 1. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So this is after his resurrection, and when he was talking to his disciples for 40 days, The subject matter in conversing with his disciples after the resurrection was the kingdom of God. So that means the rule of the heavens should come down and dawn upon the earth, where the ruling is now under the subjection of the enemy. That is what he spoke. And verse 6, when they therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So now, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? So that is the burden of their heart also. Though it is not reflecting what totally the Lord has taught, but partly, so when the Lord comes and establishes his kingdom, Israel will also come under his subjection. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. So it is not for you now to know that. Then once they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we continue in the same book, book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So that was the preaching of the Philip also. And when you see John, book of John's gospel, when John writing, John 3 verse 5, and unless you are born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that was the message of the John also. And the Paul in writing in chapter 14 verse 22, with much tribulation you shall enter into the kingdom of God. And book of Acts chapter 20, the last chapter 28, verse 30 and 31. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Teaching all those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. So that was the main subject when 2 years then Paul was preaching while he was in the Rome hired prison, hired house. So in all these things which we see here is the ways of the Lord, who is the way the apostles have taken the message of the Lord and used it. So if that was the message, then the Lord was speaking that about the things which are going to come. But he also, then the in one time, book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading from verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So everyone's heart was filled with, when will the kingdom of God appear? So that means the God will be the ruler of the earth. And more to the Pharisees, it is God is going to be the ruler of the Israel. Then the Lord said, the kingdom of God will not appear by outward observation. So that means now the way we are now comparing different things. Now the time of the Lord is at hand. This is happening, that is happening. So the Lord may come anytime, tomorrow, like this. And he said, it will not come like that. But in verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So that time, even now, that verse is applicable to us. So when he started preaching, that is the preparation for the future kingdom, that you are going to be ready. And this is the message which I have brought to you. When God created man, God desired that the man should come and live under the authority of God. When man failed, then the kingdom is delivered, kingdom is gone into the hands of the enemy. And God sent his only begotten son to deliver us from the power of him to bring back the kingdom, so that we may be free and God will exercise his rights upon his creation, and everything in heaven and on the earth will be brought under one headship, and he will be the king and the ruler of the entire universe. And that is the message which he began. But when the children of the Pharisees has asked him, when will the kingdom appear? The Lord said, kingdom will not come by an outward observation. So when people are looking into different signs and making things and drawing conclusions. He said that will not come like that. But you don't go there because it is here, because it is there. The kingdom of God is within you or among you. So here he meant the kingdom of God can be observed even now. So one is the future kingdom he was saying. And here he meant the kingdom of God is within you. And in the margin he said among you. So we can see both the things. So that means when we recognize Jesus Christ as the king of our life and completely surrender and allow him to exercise his or her authority on our life, then he becomes the king, we become the subject. Then in between him and us, me and us, the relationship is the king and the subject. But when we say that the kingdom of God is among you, that is the right interpretation. That means now you are 12 disciples and one is not the true believer, true disciple. Out of 11, if you are all 11 and consider my authority to prevail in your life. So group of people accepting my authority to prevail in your life jointly, then the kingdom appears. So as I said in the beginning, what is it? The king have a, without any obstruction of his rule and a complete authority being exercised in the lives of the people. And nobody is saying no to the authority of the king. Everybody and everyone saying yes to that authority. But here it is 11 disciples. That means where not only individual people have consecrated him as a Lord, but a group of people coming together and allowing him to take charge of their lives jointly, corporately, and all together tuning to respond to the order, authority, and the commandments of God collectively. I want you to understand this principle, and that is very important for all of us. And I encourage you, if you did not follow, please ask questions. No problem. So in the one translation said, the kingdom of God is within you. So that means individual believer who comes and recognize the authority that he is the God of my life, he is the king of my life, then I am surrendering my life. But the better translation in the margin, it is said among you. That means it is not only in one person. One person is definitely required. All the 11 people also needed to have the consecration of Jesus Christ as the king of their lives. And corporately, together functioning, then it is not one subject, but it is 11 subjects. And above him, he is the king. Then he said, the kingdom of God is among you. So the one which is going to come, that means where the authority of the Lord prevails in the earth and in the heavens, where every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. That is observed and experienced while the group of people living upon the earth here. Then we can say, the Lord is ruling in our lives collectively. Then we can say, whatever you bind here, that will be bound in heaven. So that means they are able to sense the authority of the heavens in their lives. And they wanted to subject themselves unto the authority of the king collectively. Then the kingdom of heaven is among you. So can we say any example for that one?
Brother, I have a question.
Yes.
So the Lord is going to come and establish his kingdom upon the earth.
Yes.
Throne of David.
Mm.
And now if we take this passage, the subjects are already ready when he's coming. Is that right?
The subjects at that time is not the, that subjects will be ready that time. That is right. But in this verse, that is not so.
Okay.
So that time, every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess. It is by the rule of the rod of iron. It is a rule of theocracy. It is like, for example, in Saudi Arabia, it is the Islamic religion. That is the country's religion. And there is no exception for that. Nepal is a Hindu country. And that is there, the official religion is Hindu. It is not a secular government. Similarly, that time, it is the rule of God upon the earth. Everybody must say that he is the Lord. But now, those who recognize him as a future Lord and presently submitting that their lives unto that authority now while they are living here, and a group of people come together in that manner, they can truly experience that kingdom in their lives together.
So, which means that kingdom can first now the Lord is saying, his children.
Can you come again, Jayant, the question?
That kingdom, which will be there at that time, every knee shall bow, where rule and reign. Kingdom can be also manifested and established now within and among his children.
Yeah, that is what this verse says.
Okay.
So that is, I'm asking that if you see, do you have an example for that?
From a present day life or from the Bible, brother?
No, from the from us, from the Bible, from our present day lives.
Present day lives, I definitely not in that state where I can say.
No. Whether I'm not asking whether somebody is there or not.
Yeah.
Can we give an example? Not individual names of the persons, but I am asking types.
Maybe in Acts 2nd chapter 42 verse, brother, like that they used to have in the first century church, one accord, one day used to pray and hearing everything. That was the time. Up to 5th chapter, they were oneness about up to 3,000 people were at one heart and all. Maybe that is the time God was...
Past, I'm asking is currently.
Currently.
Families.
That is what I wanted to hear. So, if a wife and husband coming together and allowing him to rule in their life, so that is the beauty, then they can experience the authority of the Lord together. It is not because they are agreeing with their wife and husband, they love each other, I love you, he love you, no. It is because they together, they love the Lord. And they have a desire to do the will of the Lord. The bond between them is because of the Lord's life. And the Lord's desire, they have a desire to do the will of the Lord. Then the Lord is among them. And that is how we should start. Then those families coming together and learn to function together as one body and one group of people, and the Lord is among them. Then they will sense the mind and the heart of the mind and the heart of Lord who is in heaven. Then they bind the things here and they will be bound there. They will lose here, they will be losing there. And the privilege of becoming a Christian, if we only limit to the forgiveness of sins and do not want to touch the experience of the throne of God, then we are losing a lot.
Brother, are you asking us that the husband and wife should become one flesh like happening in our lives before the Lord is coming?
No, I'm not asking that.
That is the encouragement, that is the exhortation we can take from the scripture, connecting everything from Genesis.
Yes, that is true.
That is what he says.
When the husband and wife, that is what is the marriage all about, the Lord intended.
Okay.
So it is not something that the man loves the woman and they both come together because of their soulical emotions or the affections. But where they are touching the third dimension, which is called spirit. The spiritual dimension where they consecrate the Lord as king in their life. And because of that kingship, which is prevailing in their individual lives, and they also sense there is the same kind of authority prevailing in the other person's spouse, and they come together because of that. And the Lord pleases with that family and continues to encourage, strengthen their faith and blesses them tremendously.
brother, is it related to only husband and wife?
It is. It can be a simple beginning from there. And that can be brought into different dimensions in our life, where we are gathering, wherever we find different brothers and sisters, and that can be expanded to different ways.
Brother, here again, just want to clarify again here. Mm. It's a tall order, so be very clear, though I understand, but I just want to again reaffirm my understanding. It doesn't mean that the husband and wife will have the same faith, but they just need to allow the rulership of the Lord in their lives first.
That is what is the important thing, Jayant.
The first thing is that they need to recognize that on the individual. Mm. Then only they can be able to come together and allowing the king to rule in their hearts, and they will be able to function as one.
That is right.
So there
that
will
is
be a time in
also for our families.
Yeah, and that is the journey will be where the kingdom will be completely established. The same principle then applies also in the church. In the
same. Church is a composition of a few families. So he said, you seek that kingdom. A group of people, starting with the 2-3, learning to live under the subjection of the king.
So in Matthew 6:10, we have seen, your kingdom come, your will be done, mm. on earth as it is in heaven. So yes. This we pray for the kingdom of God should come into the whole world.
That is one aspect. We have dwelt there also, both the aspects. Currently, that allowing his kingdom to prevail in our lives and families and churches, and also for the future. So the spiritual kingdom is going to come anyway. But our burden should be to see the authority of the Lord, how it can prevail in our lives, in our family, and also in our gatherings, in assemblies.
So before going into the world, can we pray that the kingdom of God should come into the family first?
That is what I'm saying. That is even before that, if there is individually, I am not learning to live under the authority of my king, then I cannot expect my family should come to that experience.
Please repeat, brother.
If I don't live under the authority of the king, I cannot ask my wife to come under the same authority, which I am not living.
Okay.
Similarly, it is vice versa. The wife is living, but the wife is not living, but she expects the husband should come. That is also not possible. Individually, every person should learn to come under the authority of the Lord as much as God reveals them. Then there is a great blessing to the family, starting with wife, children, and everybody.
Okay.
That is where we all are failing. And over a period of time, when we look back, there are many things gone by. So you're all young people, young couples. If there's a lot of time ahead of you, then the Lord will bless you. So whatever the mistakes we did, you can avoid by understanding these principles and apply in your lives.
And it is a great responsibility, I believe, for husbands especially, because the Lord said it is a responsibility of a husband to make the wife holy by his words. So the husband should be an example rather than forcing the wife to make her do this and that. The husband should be an example. So then both of us will enter into the kingdom of God in unity.
So anything which the Lord is speaking here is connected to the spirit, Babu. The spiritual matters are only touched by the spirit of God. By man saying, only they can understand. They can only show obedience when the Lord convicts their lives. So we need to understand that. Spiritual matters can only be brought in the person's life by the power of God. Individual people, what others can do is only to teach them, but they cannot make it happen in their lives. the things will be done only when the Lord touches the person's life.
Well, also the distinction here in Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God is focusing as the body of Christ, or the church, or including everyone, the angels and everybody. So here the focus is actually a corporate, or you know, not individual only. It's the corporate
group of people.
Yes, group of people. But then the Beatitudes, the kingdom of heaven, is about the self, like Lord ruling in my life. You know, the Lord Jesus and his resurrected life ruling in my life. So the chapter 6 is the prerequisite for the chapter 6 is the chapter, you know, the Beatitudes chapter, kingdom of heaven, where I have intimate relationship with God and knowing him, desiring him in my life. And then now here, once I have that, then it's more of now wanting and seeking the kingdom of God, you know, be present. Is that
correct? So individually, when we are not under living under the subjection of the king, and we cannot expect those things corporately should happen. Corporately also, to make it happen, there are a lot many things we need to see. We will see that. And today we will leave this portion here, and we will see and what is further. So this is what the Lord is expecting, and how we will come into that experience, we need to see. And what will be in the future, we will see. Of those people who will participate now, and what will be their portion, then we will see that.
And because the chapter 6, I think it starts, verse 24, starts that you cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen, yeah.
So that is the foundation for the rest of the verses, because the mammon will give the food and garments.
And also satisfaction that they are blessed here.
Yeah, but then the God is giving the life and the body, which is more precious.
Yes.
Than what it is now. And the 6:33 affirms that when I seek God, not only his righteousness, then all these things are part of what mammon was.
That is true, Param.
So it's really, really important to just serve our God, the one master. But the current challenges, the business of life is automatically our, you know, not, I would not say our, my mind, you know, switches to, okay, you know, and to do things better, to get things better. So it's all focusing on things than the creator and redeemer God.
Yeah. So there is a conflict, but we need to overcome that and exercise faith. So other part of the verse and the righteousness we will see on Friday.